What's up, Bulls Nation? Welcome back to the Whole Lotta Bull podcast. I'm Troy. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Troy. And you can follow the show at Whole Lotta Bull. So yesterday, guys, the Bulls got another win in the Summer League, a 107-99 dub over the Sacramento Kings. Unfortunately, this is a game I didn't really get to see much of. Unfortunately, I think I had some internet issues with my modem. I think it's playing up a bit lately. As it made the picture on League Pass look pretty ordinary. It was actually quite unwatchable. So, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the game. But based on what I've seen from a lot of guys on Twitter, from like Hayes and CHGO guys, C-Red UK, basically everyone on the Twitter machine, it seems like a few players had a decent outing. Obviously, there's some concerns about Dalen Terry and his offensive game at the moment, which based on looking at the numbers, you know, 2-for-7 shooting, missed his only three-point attempt. He's having a rough go of it offensively in terms of his scoring output, but he still comes away with 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Did finish with 4 turnovers, which isn't great. So obviously there is some struggles there for Dalen at the moment with his ability to score. But based on the first two games that I did get to see, he looks like he's doing all right with everything else for the most part. Like, I wasn't expecting Dalen to come in and look like LeBron James in the Summer League. That's just not what I see as Summer League being about. I see it more of as a development opportunity for the younger guys, especially the guys who are trying to get a contract in the NBA, earn themselves a job. And for like guys that are on, you know, for guys like Dalen Terry, who are either rookies or the sophomores, trying to also just show off, well, put into play what they've worked on in the offseason. Like we've seen the videos of Dalen Terry working out with DeMar DeRozan, Pat Williams, and Johnny Dribble Too Much, working on his handles with Johnny. And at the moment, it doesn't look like, you know, to me, Dalen looks like he has been absolutely thinking too fast and his body can't keep up with what he's trying to do. So hopefully, as I said in the last podcast, hopefully Dalen, he does start to slow down mentally. That's probably his biggest issue for him at the moment. But looks like Julian Phillips had himself a game. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 6 of 8 shooting. Made all 3 of his 3-point attempts, which I've seen the highlight clips. His shot does look much better than it was in college. Much smoother, much quicker. So that's some positive signs. Like, you know, we've seen the videos of him playing in the AAU tournaments before he went to college. You know, he looked like a pretty decent shooter, and he goes off to college, and I don't know what the hell they're teaching at Tennessee, because they completely stuffed up his shot there, and obviously he had a different role there as well. You know, you're not going to have the same role in college as you are in AAU or in high school, where, you know, in those high school and AAU teams, generally, like, you're the guy, you're the man, whereas you get to college, especially when you're a freshman or however you guys call it over in the States, as a first-year college player, you're generally not going to be the man unless you're an out-of-this-world prospect, you know, looking back at the Zion Williamsons and guys like that who they spend 1 year in college and, yeah, they're the guy. But, yeah, it was great to see Julian have a bounce-back game, which he said he promised he was going to do. So, yeah, hopefully this does continue. This is more of what we've expecting out of Julian. Hopefully this is what we get to see more and more of. He did show off his, I saw the highlight of his showing off his leaping ability, where he had that hustle offensive rebound and then just had a really quick putback slam. So hopefully, yeah, we continue to see more of that. I wish I could say more about him, but unfortunately not been able to see the game, I can't really comment. It looks like Adama Sanogo had a nice one as well. 15 points, 9 boards, a couple of steals, couple of blocks in there, so like 7-10 shooting. I'm going to wish, yeah, no 3-point attempts in there as well, which we've seen that shot release for his. It is slower than a grandma crossing the street, that's for sure. But look, I would like to think that all of Sonogo's points came in the paint. All his shots came in the paint. Did go 1 of 4 from the free throw line, so that is not great at all. But yeah, like, listening to the comments about Adama, I mean, definitely seems like he had a showing of who more he is that he wasn't at UConn last year, as opposed to, you know, clearly he just wasn't himself in that first game of the summer league, where he looked like he looked completely lost in that first game. Nate Darling looks like to continue to fire that thing up. You know, 4 of 6 from 3, 4 of 10 overall, 16 points. So it looks like he's another shooter on this team, which, you know, it's good to see that this summer league team is getting some shots up. And obviously the man, the player of the game, which he's creating some talk about him at the moment, Javon Freeman Liberty, 28 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 9 of 17 shooting for 53%, 3 of 7 from downtown, good for basically 43%. Like, if you guys want to be particular, it's 42.9, but let's just round her up. You know, hit all 7 free throws. Javon Freeman Liberty, JFL, has been creating quite the stir. Everyone's saying, a lot of guys on Twitter saying, sign him up to that two-way contract, if not a full NBA contract. At this point, I don't know if you've seen what I wrote on Twitter, like, guys, let's just calm down a little bit. This is summer league. Guys like Freeman Liberty are going to absolutely take this opportunity to show off what they can do. But as I mentioned, like, you know, we saw Carlik Jones last year. He was the G League MVP. He's not NBA standard. Marko Simonovic, he was basically a 20-10 guy. He's gone back to Serbia. So let's not get too carried away with Freeman Liberty. I don't know if it's because he's from Chicago and played at DePaul that he's getting all this hype, or it is purely because of how well he is playing in the summer league, and I sincerely hope that is the case. You know, me not being even from America, being down here in Australia, I don't have that whole, oh, he's from Chicago connection to any of these players, like, maybe with the exception of D Rose, but, you know, I love D Rose for who he was, not because he was from Chicago. Like, that being him being a hometown, like, these guys being from Chicago is a nice little bonus, but for me personally, like, I'm not going to be all like, oh no, you must get this player because they're from Chicago. Like, I want the best players possibly playing for the Bulls, whether they're from Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, or whether they're from bloody down here in Adelaide, Australia. Like, as long as we can get the best possible talent playing in a Bulls uniform, that's what I personally care about. But hey, if he's good enough to get a deal with the Bulls or even a two-way, hey, best of luck to him. I really hope all the best for him. But yeah, let's just remember, it is a summer league, guys, so let's just pump the brakes a little bit, not get too carried away on that. So yeah, as far as the rest of the game goes, obviously, like I said before, I didn't get to watch it, so I can't comment too much on it. But moving on, we got word today that Julian Phillips has... the Bulls officially announced that Julian Phillips has signed his contract. Obviously, we know he actually signed it a couple of days ago, because that's the reason why he didn't play the first game and did play the second game. But the Bulls officially announced it today, and we got a tweet from Bobby Marks putting out the details of the deal. It's a 4-year deal for Julian, or as I've been calling him, JP. The fourth year is a team option. So the first year at $1.6 million, second year $1.9 million, third year at $2.2 million, and the team option fourth year at $2.4 million. So $5.7 million in guaranteed money for Julian. I believe it is a $8.1 million or $8.2 million deal in total. So apparently this ranks number 2 amongst all second round picks in contracts this year. So to me, this says more about what AK and Eversley have learned in terms of how they mucked up this deal with Iota Sumi. Iota Sumu, get my word, get it out right, correctly soon. That they learned from the mistake with Io in only giving him a 2-year deal, and now he's in restricted free agency. Now we're waiting to see what actually happens with Io. And obviously we know that they gave Marko Simonovic that 3-year deal with a 3rd year not guaranteed, which obviously they exercised to release him and sent put him in the van and back to Serbia. So yeah, it's good to see that they've learned from that mistake. They've got control over Julian now for the 4 years if they choose to do so, or at least 3 years, and that. They will, sorry, I've got some just people walking by my ute here. Control over Julian for 3 to 4 years. You know, obviously they can exercise that, or choose not to exercise that player option, that team option in the 4th year. Depending on how things work out with Julian, also being a second round pick, you know, you don't know how these guys are going to turn out. Like, Julian could absolutely turn out to be an absolute steal, especially if that defense is up to the standards that Arturis Kanishevis, or Kanishevis, however you pronounce his last name. However, AK has said his defense is, like, he's NBA ready now. If that pans out, then awesome. And if that 3-point shot of his turns out to be, you know, back to what he was in high school and AAU, we could have a very good 3-and-D player on our hands and at a cheap deal. So, well done to JP. You got you're getting your money and you're sticking around for a bit. So, good luck to the young kid. Let's hope his career turns out pretty well. And I'll just touch on a couple other things quickly. The Bulls attended a private workout held by Harry Giles III and Dion Waiters. I'm just going to quickly say no to Harry Giles. Like, obviously, he had a rough start to his career. He had some injuries. And to Dion Waiters, a big fat hell no. Yeah, don't want him anywhere near this team. Another quick note. The other day, DeMar DeRozan became eligible to sign up to a 4-year, $179 million contract extension, which on average works out to be just under, well, works out between $44 to $45 million a year. Now, obviously, that's up to that. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to sign that deal in particular, which I'm sure he would love that. I don't know about signing DeMar to a 4-year contract. I would personally, if we're going to sign to a contract extension, like maybe 2 years at say $70 million at tops, because you know DeMar now is what, 33 going on 34, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you want to kind of, at guys at his age, you don't want to be committing long-term contracts to, like, unless they are generational players like LeBron, which even then I'd still hesitate to give. Like, say if it was LeBron we were having these talks about, I would still hesitate to give a four-year deal to at the age of 33. I mean, I'd be like going, let's go a couple of years at a time. You know, we saw LeBron anyway doing the 1+1 deals anyway. So so 4 years for DeMar, like his game should age gracefully. Like he's not relying on his athleticism anymore. He is the mid-range king. And as I've said before, I do love DeMar on this team and happy to have him play out his career in Chicago, but I'm just very hesitant on a 4-year deal. And probably just reach into my last thing. Not Bulls related, but it kind of, it's just NBA related. The NBA has brought in the anti-flopping rules and the second coaches challenge. About time the NBA brought in this anti-flopping rule. Do know, like, here down in Australia, or just FIBA basketball in general, we already have a flopping rule. I mean, I've embarrassing story. When I was still playing basketball last year, I got called for a flop warning, even though my heart did not flop. I don't know how to flop to save myself. But I got called for a flop warning because I snuck up behind the guy who was about to catch the ball and turn around, and he ran into me, and it was a very slow fall, which is why I got called for a flop warning. But I had a laugh about it and with the ref afterwards and said, "Look, dude, I can't flop to save myself," so that wasn't a flop. But I completely understood why he called me for a flop. So guys like LeBron, James Harden, some people might even say DeMar DeRozan, with how he falls after he takes a shot. But more so the guys like Harden and LeBron, these are the guys that are going to get affected, because we saw in the Western Conference Finals how LeBron barely even I don't think he really even made contact with Jokic, and he just goes absolutely flying across the court like he's just been bloody hit by a Mack truck. And so hopefully the NBA does do the right thing and implement this rule properly, and we can get rid of this stupidity that happens on the court. I hate seeing players flop. I can understand what DeMar DeRozan does. I can understand players trying to sell contact to a certain degree, but when it's an out-and-out blatant flop that we've seen players do, especially LeBron, LaFlop himself, that stuff's just got to go. And then with the coaches challenge, I don't understand why this was never implemented when they first brought in the coaches challenge anyway. That the coaches now, that if they are successful in their coaches challenge on their first attempt, they get to keep the coaches challenge for a second one. I just don't understand why this was never part of it to start with. Why should you? I know they got to keep the timeout if they won the challenge, but why shouldn't they have also been able to keep their challenge if they were successful? For those who watch cricket, you see players get to review decisions, or even I think only if umpire actually makes a call. If there's an appeal in cricket for caught behind or something like that, and if there's a call or no call, either team can actually challenge. Say if a batsman gets caught behind, and if he doesn't actually think he hit it, he can challenge the call. And if he wins, obviously he's not out. The team keeps it. And obviously if they lose, he's out, and they lose that challenge. So it's good to see that they brought in the second one, which again should have been in there right from the start. So I don't think there's actually too much more to go through, guys. Just on a quick side note, I saw there was also a tornado warning in Chicago this morning for my time. Obviously for tonight for you guys. Hopefully nothing too bad happened, and hope you're all good. That'll basically wrap it up for this episode of the Whole Lotta Ball podcast. Thanks for listening in, guys. As usual, you can follow me on Twitter at @Bulls_Troy. You can follow the show at Whole Lotta Ball. If you want, please rate, review, and subscribe to the pod. Share it around. Let's build the word about my podcast here. Let's get some more, help this podcast grow. So, yeah, if you can, please share it amongst your Bulls friends, and let's get this thing growing. So until next time, Bulls fans, see red. Go Bulls.